We're going to read, first off, Lamentations 3, verse 21. And so, perhaps we could read together. So, this I recall to my mind. Therefore, I have hope. Through the Lord's mercies, we cannot be consumed. Because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. Amen. I think it was verse 24, it talks about compassion. The Lord has compassion. How many of us are thankful for his compassion? Is it 22? So this morning, I was kind of sharing a little bit with Marv this morning. It's like how the Lord's been working on my heart about compassion. And I think how, even during this time, we see how there's a lack of compassion in this world. Right? There's a lack of compassion. And where's the church? How come the church doesn't show compassion towards people? There's a lack of compassion within the church. There's a lack of compassion maybe in our own lives. And why is that? To have compassion is to have the same mindset of Christ. And to have compassion, Christ-like compassion, should motivate us to meet the needs of people physically and spiritually. Compassion motivates somebody. We can have empathy, which we try and identify with them, trying to, like, you know. But compassion really moves us into action. You can't sit on the sidelines and have compassion. Because when you have compassion, it should motivate you to actually put your faith into action. Compassion should motivate you. God was motivated by, his compassion was motivated. He seen there was a need. So he moved. And sometimes we wonder, do I really deserve God's compassion? I know we've talked about God's growing godly character in our lives. And I think one godly character trait I know I need to in my life is growing compassion. We're required to follow Christ, that we must be willing to deny self and to pick up our cross and follow him. I shared on that last week, to pick up our cross and follow him so we deny ourselves. We don't live for ourselves. We should be living as what Christ wants us to live and how to live. So 2 Peter, so it's going to be open to anybody. We're going to make the boys or whoever is going to be a little more sharper. So 2 Peter 1, 5 to 7. Oh, my goodness. Man, you guys are getting quick.
I think Owen.
Was it Owen?
No,
I think it was Owen.
Was it Eric?
Oh,
okay.
So chapter 5?
Yeah.
I mean chapter 1, verse 5?
Yeah, 5 to 7.
For this very reason, make every effort to add your faith, God, goodness, add to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, to godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love.
Yeah? It's godly character traits that we're building. We desire for people to grow. Godly character. To grow in godly character, we need to deny ourselves. Because we can't grow to become like Christ if we do not deny ourselves. Else that can't happen. It's amazing how some people have more compassion towards others than, like myself. I'm very black and white. And so sometimes I lack compassion. Because I'm very black and white. It's like, how come you don't get it? And I think when I'm black and white, I try to, it's like, Lord, help me have compassion. I fail at compassion at times. There's times I'm compassionate. I see a need and I want to help. I'm motivated to help. But sometimes, I don't know who else is black and white. I think we could identify. Sometimes we need to have that other compassionate person as our spouse. For balance, right? To motivate us to be compassionate. And it's a work in progress. Right? When my wife needs something, I'm not sometimes compassionate. I can't wrap my brain around it. Yeah. As you read through the Gospels, you see how compassionate the Lord Jesus Christ was to people. To people that he met, he was very compassionate. In order to grow in godly character, to become like Christ, we should grow in compassion towards people. Even though sometimes we may not understand them, but we should grow in compassion. Because to identify, to help them, if you see somebody with a need, how can I be compassionate to help them? Even being compassionate, we help them to grow in godly character. To be mentors to them. That's being compassionate. It's not just giving them something, right? We help them to grow it and mentor them. That's being compassionate. Because, I mean, sometimes we could be, somebody could be really spiritually strong and somebody could be not so strong. And what happens when somebody in your family or your friends that are very spiritually strong and then you're not? There's sometimes tension. Because they can't identify because you're maybe spiritually strong and they're not. We should be trying to help them, encourage them, be compassionate for them to grow. If we don't have that compassion, then there's going to be strife. There's going to be resentment. There's going to be bitterness. I can remember in our DTS, they said, be careful because, especially when I did mine, Kareen didn't, she did hers a year later, but they said, you'll grow spiritually faster. So always try to include your spouse in the conversations and also in the class so they would grow spiritually at the same time so there wouldn't be that friction. So grow together, and that's hard. Can be hard. Often, compassion is drowned out because of our busyness. Sometimes we're so busy in life, we get caught up what's happening in life, that we see somebody in need, we don't have compassion for them. We were like, well, I'll catch you on the way back or something. I'm too busy. I got to make this appointment. I got to be here. We see, sometimes we get so busy in our lives, but we don't stop and have compassion on that person at that moment. Our lives are busy. It's amazing how busy our lives are. Our lives should not be so busy that we don't have compassion on somebody. If we see somebody in trouble, we should not just fly by them. We should stop and just Talk to them, pray with them, encourage them, have compassion on them. Scripture really emphasizes the fact that Jesus ministered to the hurting, to all people of all walks of life, to the lepers, people that were shunned from the community, from the world. Jesus actually, you know, he's supposed to go up to the, he's supposed to walk on the opposite side of the road when you see a leopard. And the leper is supposed to shout out, unclean, unclean, unclean. But Jesus went to them. He had compassion. He even grabbed, he said, touch my hand. He put his hand out and they touched him. And he healed them. It shows the compassion. I think even if you want to put in COVID aspects, everybody's afraid of getting COVID. Oh my goodness, you're not vaxxed. Get away from me. You see how there's non-compassionate people. Where's the compassion? Doesn't matter if you're vaxxed or not. Show compassion. Don't act like that person's a leopard. You see how the church is being divided in it? Lack of compassion. They're dividing. Shouldn't be dividing. Should be uniting, pulling together. The truth that we need to understand that is Christ's likeness, compassion. It's not just about meeting our needs. It's not about giving what is right and useful to deal with those needs. We may be sincere about wanting to help others, but we don't really want to help them. We kind of just like, I pray, Lord, help me be compassionate. But if I don't put that into action, then it's just empty words. I could be praying, Lord, help me to be more loving. But that would just be meaningless words. How do I become more compassionate towards somebody? How do I become more loving towards somebody? How can I be more... How can I show more empathy towards somebody? How can I, but it's taking time, right? Not time for myself, but actually investing in somebody, to know them. Not to drag them along, but just include them and be part of your life. I think of sometimes compassion, we think, well, if I help somebody who's in debt and give them all the money to get out of debt, is that really showing compassion? If somebody was in debt, had massive credit card bills, and I just went and paid it, is that really compassion? It's not. And why is it not? Because they're going to go back into debt. Because nobody's ever taught them about the proper ways of handling money. People overspend, but never taught how to deal with their paychecks. So to pay somebody's debt off and to allow them to go back into debt again, that's not really compassion. That's hindering them. When a family member asks for money all the time but never changes their situation, that's enabling them. That's not really showing compassion. Compassion is actually, maybe at that time they need food, give them food, but also then teach them how to handle their money and actually help them to grow so they get better jobs. That's showing compassion, to help them grow. So compassion must move us to give people the right help rather than just the request help they want. We have to give them the right help. And sometimes the right help they need may not be welcome by them at all because it deals with their spiritual issues. Sometimes we see the physical, maybe the lack of finances, but really what's the spiritual aspect? Spiritually, they're dry. So how do you grow somebody in spiritual aspects? Teach them. Spend time with them. Help them to know and learn the Bible. Pray with them. Sometimes we always want to deal with the physical rather than dealing with the spiritual. The spiritual is a huge part of our lives, to have compassion on somebody spiritually. Jesus was the same way. You think about when the person who was lowered down through the roof, right? What was the first thing he dealt with? The spiritual. He says, I forgive your sins. Your faith has healed you. Now he says, pick up your mat and walk. He dealt with the spiritual first, then the physical. A lot of times we always want to have compassion just on the physical, but not on the spiritual. So when we're spiritually dead, we need to help people to grow spiritually. Because it doesn't matter how much you help them in the physical, they won't grow. The greatest need that everyone has is to be rescued from the bondage of sin. We see people caught up in bondage of sin. So how do we have compassion on them to help them to be break free from the bondage of sin? We teach them. We spend time with them, mentor them. What's the root cause why they have that bondage? There is always a root cause of spiritual bondage. We can never forget about spiritual bondage. And Christ deals with that. He's the only one that sets us free from spiritual bondage. Because really the root cause of most problems and burdens and sorrows is actually spiritual bondage. To grow spiritually. And sometimes we may feel spiritually dead. And so sometimes we feel like hiding and not to be around other people. But that's the best time to be around people who are in love with the Lord. To encourage one another. To stir one another up in the Word of God. Sometimes we may be feeling like, I don't feel like being here today. I'd rather be at home with my feet up watching TV. I think that'd be a good indication to why we should meet in fellowship and to encourage one another. So compassion should move us more than just feeling sorry for someone. It should actually motivate us for compassion. It should motivate us into action. Pity is a feeling, but true compassion demands action. Don't have pity on somebody. Have compassion on them. Oh, I feel sorry for so-and-so. But don't have pity on them, but have compassion for them. I believe that we can never understand the power of one act of compassion in the person's life. Can you imagine how Jesus' acts of compassion changed people's lives? So Luke 9, here's the one. Luke 9, 37 to 43. Luke 9, 37 to 43. Oh, my goodness. Okay. Ready?
Okay. And it came to pass that on the next day, when they were come down from the hill, much people met him. And behold, a man of the company cried out, saying, Master, I beseech thee, look upon my son, for he is mine only child. And lo, a spirit taketh him, and he suddenly crieth out, and it terrorizeth him that he foameth again, and bruising him, hardly departeth from him. And I besought thy disciples to
cast him out, and they could not. And Jesus answering said, O faithless.
Yeah. And perverse
generation, how long shall I be with you and suffer you? Bring thy son hither. And as he went, and as he was yet a coming, the devil threw him down and tear him. And Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the child and delivered him again to his father. And they were all amazed at the mighty power of God. But while they wondered everyone at all things which Jesus did, he said unto his disciples,
No, that's good. Yeah. So he had compassion on the kid who was being spiritually oppressed, or he had this demonic spirit in him. He had compassion on him. And Jesus set him free. He cast the demon out of him. That shows compassion. He could have just said, oh, maybe tomorrow, but he had compassion and did it. His father asked him, and he prayed for him. Sometimes we're afraid to pray for people that, if you're a believer, you could be oppressed by demonic spirits. If somebody who's non-believer, they actually have a demonic spirit living in them. And so sometimes we're afraid to pray for people who are demonic or oppressed by demonic. But we come in the name of Jesus, and he's the one that actually gives us the authority to speak these things out. So don't be afraid if you see somebody or there's, you know, spiritual aspects, not to be afraid to pray for those people. The one thing even when you pray for somebody who's demonically oppressed or a non-believer that's infilled with one, and first thing you do is say, in Jesus' name, you have no right to speak or manifest or take anything. You cannot speak. I bind you up in Jesus' name. You take authority over that thing. Jesus showed great acts of compassion without any strings. He didn't say, if I cast you out, set you free, this is what you got to do. He never did that. There was no strings attached. There was no hidden agenda. But the result of his act of compassion was always positive. We know Jesus healed numerous people in the Bible. So Mark 6:34. Luke 6.
Got it.
Okay.
Okay, that was just right there.
Yeah.
What?
Luke 6:34.
Oh, yeah, okay. Luke?
Mark 6:34.
Okay. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, and he was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things.
Go 35.
And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, this is a desert place, and now the time is far past.
So Jesus seeing the people were who didn't have a shepherd, he had compassion on them. People who don't have Jesus in their lives are lost and they're wandering. And so that's why when we have compassion on people who don't know the Lord or maybe who are new believers, we come alongside them and shepherd them in a way of mentoring them. So spending time with them. Does that make sense? It takes time, right? This is the point. To have compassion on somebody, it takes time and effort. It's not a fast, quick thing. is actually investing in people. It's actually saying that, no, I have all these things I want to do and get done, what I think I need to get done. And we ask the Lord, Lord, today use me for your glory, for your purpose. How many of us pray that every day? Lord, use me today. Lord, guide me today. Lord, I want to be used by you. Oh, sorry, I don't want to help you today because I got this 5 o'clock appointment, or I got to get here and there. Right? Look at all the circumstances we fly by at times instead of stopping and saying, thank you, Lord, for making me to take time. Help me, Lord, to take time for people and be compassionate, to be moved for people. We could be overly busy for no good reason. That's sometimes myself. I need to pull back on things, not to be overly busy. So what about Matthew 25, 34 to... Matthew 25, 34 to 40. Oh, he hasn't found it yet. We're just going to go to Elijah. Okay. I haven't heard his voice for a while.
34?
Yeah.
I can guarantee this truth. This generation will not disappear until all things take place. The earth and the heavens will disappear, but my words will never disappear. No one knows when that day or hour will come. Even the angels in heaven and the Son don't know.
Did I say? I think I told you the wrong one. Matthew 25. Matthew 25, 34. That was a good scripture, though. Matthew 25, 34 to 40. Here, let Elijah do it again.
Okay.
Okay.
34
to 40. 35.
40, 34 to 40.
Yeah.
Then the king will say to those...
Matthew 25.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry.
Then the king will say to those on his right, come, my father has blessed you. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you took me into your home. I needed clothes, and you gave me something to wear. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Then the people who gave God's approval will reply to him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or see you thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you as a stranger and take you into our homes, or see you in need of clothes and give you something to wear? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? The king will answer them, I can guarantee this truth, whatever you did for one of my brothers or sisters, no matter how unimportant they seemed, you did for me.
Amen. Sometimes we don't know we're actually ministering to the Lord. Showing compassion. Even though... Because we're any less of the person, right? I see, you know, we've seen people at doorways of stores, and they're asking for money. I started not to give them money, but I give them food. To have compassion, I buy them food instead of give them money. I know the church, we have compassion on people that we help pay their bills, right? Not give them money, but we pay their bills for them, to help them, to have compassion, to help them through. So what's James 4:14? James 4:14. James 4:14. Okay.
James chapter 4, verse 14.
Correcto.
James. Why do you not even know what will happen tomorrow? What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Do you want me to do 15?
No, that's good.
Okay.
So we just vanished. We're only here for a short while. We're not here for a long time. So every opportunity that we were given, we should take every opportunity, because we are just a mist. We're here just for a very short time. Then we vanish. We get caught up. So we take every opportunity, because we know when we take those opportunities, we're doing it for the Lord. So how about Luke 10, 31 to 34? Luke 10. Did you find it?
Yep.
Or are you just saying it up before you find it?
Well, 31 to 34.
I think so.
I can agree. You know what?
Yeah.
Okay. 31 to 34. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and passed by the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him.
I think sometimes we can be like the Levites, we can be the religious people, and we see somebody on the other side who maybe will be on our side of the street, and we're like, well, I'm just going to cross the other side and just keep on walking by. Right? I've done that. But here's a Samaritan. And why did Jesus use a Samaritan as an example? Because they're the most lowly people. Nobody ever wanted to be called a Samaritan. They were half-breeds. They were people that are the lowest of low. But yet, here's a Samaritan. He stopped and had compassion on this person, this traveler, who was beaten and left for dead. He had compassion. He stopped. He helped heal up his wounds, cover his wounds, and then put on his own donkey and then took him to an inn. And he gave the innkeeper money. So it cost him something. It cost him time, because he was going somewhere. But he stopped, had compassion on this totally perfect stranger who needed help. He took that compassion, put him on his donkey, took him to the innkeeper, and said, here, look after him, feed him, get him better, and I'll settle up with you. He took that time and the finances of his own pocket. That is a sacrifice. And he didn't want nothing in return. So he took out of his busyness, he took time for the stranger. He showed the compassion of Christ to this person. I know Jesus was using this as a story to illustrate to the people that he was speaking to. He was using it as a metaphor. Like, he was saying, we need to stop. Have compassion on people. The second greatest commandment is to love your neighbor as yourself. And they always ask, who is our neighbor? Everybody around us is our neighbor. We have compassion on people around us. We show the love of God towards those people. So how are we using the little time here on earth? How are we using the little time that we are here on earth? Because we know we're just a vapor. How am I using the time that God has given me here on earth? Am I more consumed about my life? You know, it'll be over soon. Seriously, I see what's happening in Iran. And you look at the brink of war maybe breaking out. We see things, we know the time of the Lord's return is closer than ever before. It'll be over soon enough. Will you be satisfied how you use your time when we stand before the judgment seat of God? Because at that time, believers give an account of their lives. You can find that in 2 Corinthians 5 and also in Romans 14:10-12. Believers give an account to God for how we use our time. We are accountable unto God. That should be, we've sung today, Lord, let me have godly fear of you. Do I have godly fear? Sometimes I wonder if I do or not. It's like, Lord, help me to have godly fear. Help me, Lord, to have compassion. Let me, Lord, to walk in your word, to be truly Christ-like. Let me not be just full of hot air, but actually putting what I speak on into action. We have to make that decision. Lord, do I really want you to use me today? Lord, am I really want to die to deny myself today? Do I really want to deny myself? That's the main thing. Do I really want to deny myself? And to really become like Christ. That's what we're called to be like Christ. Am I willing to die and pick up my cross and say, Lord, I do. Lord, I know I have blown it. I know I have lack of compassion at times towards people. I brushed people off. I didn't want to spend time with people because I was only thinking about myself. And we can say, Father, forgive me for that. Because we've all have blown it. And the compassion of God, when we forgive, ask for forgiveness, he forgives. And when we truly have repented, he says, I choose not to remember your sin any longer. He remembers it no more. He chooses not to remember it. It's not that he's forgetful. He chooses not to remember any of the sin that we confess onto him. So where we have blown it, where we have not shown the compassion or the love for somebody, Lord, forgive me. But Lord, help me. And Lord, help me to be sensitive to the leading of your Holy Spirit and to take that time out of my busyness. Lord, I'm here for you. We're ambassadors of Christ. We are here to represent Christ. So how can we be compassionate to people this season? How can we be compassionate to people in January? How can we be compassionate to people in February, in March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November again? How can I be compassionate every day to somebody? That's the challenge. How can I be compassionate to my neighbor? How can I be compassionate to my wife? How can I be compassionate to my kids? It's only the Lord enables us. But we also have to take ownership and to step out in faith. It's putting what we say into action. To have Christ's compassion. Father, we thank you that you are very compassionate. And Lord, we thank you that through Scripture that you reveal how compassionate you are. And Lord, I know that times we fail. And Lord, we come to you this morning and confess our failures. Perhaps not denying ourselves and always trying to put ourselves first. But Lord, help us to have a compassionate heart. Help us, Lord, to see people through the eyes of Christ. Lord, help me personally to see people through your eyes. And Lord, that I would have compassion on them. And Lord, that I would give them or know what to give them or know how to help them in that situation. To be truly given the right thing at that moment. But Lord, help me not to have pity on them, but Lord, to love them and to show them the love of God. So Father, I pray that as we go through this season right now, we will be compassionate towards others, that we would not belittle people or look down upon people. Lord, I pray for those who are hurting, who've lost jobs because of all this garbage. Lord, that we would lift them up in prayer, and we pray, Father, that you would supply their every need, everything that they have, what they need, their finances or the food or power, Father, whatever it is, but we would have compassion on those people. Lord, help us to be a church that is compassionate to the people in this community and to even be compassionate to our neighbors. Lord, I pray that you would do a mighty work in us, that you would change our hearts and our attitudes. Lord, that our attitudes would line up to yours. Lord, that we become more like Christ and less like ourselves. Father, I pray that we would put on the new nature in the likeness of Christ. Lord, I thank you for how you're going to do this mighty work. And I pray, Father, that you would open doors this week that we could actually walk in compassion. And Father, that we could come back and praise you and say, this is how when I was yielded to you, the leading of the Holy Spirit, this is how God used me. And Lord, that we could even invite those people in who show compassion to, even, Lord, to fellowship and to be surrounded by God-fearing people. So Lord, we thank you for who you are. Thank you for all the work you're doing in our lives. And thank you that you're not done with us yet. In Jesus' name, amen.